Yes, welcome along to the Racing Postcast, sponsored by Unibet, and joining myself, David Jennings, to dissect all the action on Jumps Finale Day at Sandown. We've got Graham Rodway, Matt Gardner, and Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet. It's going to be a corker, final day of the season. Cannot wait. And we're going to kick off with the 150 at Sandown. It is the Bet365 Novices Champion Final Handicap Hurdle. It's always competitive, and this year is no different. It's 7-1 the field, would you believe, at Unibet. Fiercely Proud is 7-1. It is 8-1 Panjari. Steel Alley is also 8-1. Secret Squirrel, who bounced back to winning ways last time, is 9-1. 9-1 Giza Rockstar. It is 11-1 Fire Flyer. And Be Aware and Court in the Act. And it is 14-1 Bar. Ed Nicholson, we have money back if you finish, if you back a horse that finishes second or third here. And we've got an extra place with Unibet. So why not bet with Unibet in the opener at Sandown on Saturday? Kick us off with a winner.
Well, what a great race this is this year. And it always is. If you go through the history books, so many good horses come from this race the following year. Last year, the first two under control, an Iberica Lord, who went on and obviously did great things this year. Under control, maybe not so much, but Iberica Lord did so. This race, for me, it's all about Paul Nicholls. He's got such a tremendous record in this race. If you look at his horses over the previous 4 or 5 years, last year, Bo Balco came fifth. He won it with Napa's Hill the year before that. Before that, he came second and fifth. Before that, he won it. Before that, he came fourth. He always pinpoints a well-handicapped novice in this race. He's got two this year, which makes it quite difficult, but both have got chances. Panjari is around about 8-1 third favourite. And the one I'm going to put up is Fire Flyer, who has looked really good in a couple of victories this season. Pulled up last time. You'd be forgiven for putting him out of your top three here. But I think there was reasons for that. I think the better ground will suit him. He beat Secret Squirrel at Taunton. I'd looked at the replay. Harry Cobden didn't resort to the whip once, and he only won by a neck or so. Same terms as far as I can see for that victory. I think he'll beat Secret Cyril, and yet he's a bigger price. So, yeah, Fire Flyer to continue the great record for Paul Nicholls in this race. I think he's a well-handicapped horse, and I've been told that he's been pinpointing this race for Fire Flyer for some time.
Excellent. And 11-1 with Unibet. Nice way to start the show. Fire Flyer for Ed Nicholson. As I said, 11-1 with Unibet. Now, this has Graham Rodway written all over. Nice big handicap, 7-1 the field. Rodders, don't let me down. What have you got for us?
I like Active Authority here, DJ, for Ollie Murphy, who's finishing the season very strongly, isn't he? He had the big winner at Aintree, strong leader, that I think took a bit of pressure off of him. And he's had a couple of winners this week at Perth already. So his horses are absolutely flying right now. And Active Authority has won a couple of minor races over hurdles, but he actually ran up against Secret Squirrel, who's the horse who's really well fancied for this race. Finished second behind him last season. You've given him an awful lot of weight that day. I think there's a good chance that he can reverse the places here. He's been brought along slowly by Murphy this season, but I'm sure that he's got him nicely handicapped for this race. And Sean Bowen, obviously, who knows how the jockey's title will be sitting once we get to the first race on Saturday, but I'm sure that he'll be hoping that he's still in with a chance of catching Harry Cobden.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, they ran against each other Taunton last season. I think there was £10 in the difference there, and Active Authority was sent off favourite. So, interesting shout. And Rodders, an unbelievable achievement. We're in agreement. I think Active Authority has got a massive chance as well. Right, Matt Gardner. I always think with Matt, when Matt comes on, Matt looks exactly like a tipster should look. He looks shrewd. He looks like he knows what he's talking about. And it's interesting that he follows Graham Rodway here with his opinion. So what have you got for us here in the opener, Matt?
I like Steel Ally. He's made up into a pretty decent hurdler pretty quickly, to be honest. He's got a really progressive profile. He won a novice at Wincanton that worked out pretty well. And then he went to Newbury and finished clear with a subsequent winner. He was a 9 lengths clear of the third. That horse came out and won as well. He has gone up £7 on the back of that, given the distances involved, but it's unlikely that he's sort of finished improving yet. And I think the key for him maybe here is the way he sort of battled back at Newbury really suggested that this kind of uphill, stiffish finish was really going to suit him. So You know, it is competitive. I think you can make a case for plenty, but Steel Ally was the one that I liked.
Okay, there we go. So varying opinions there. Steel Ally it is for Matt Gardner, who's currently an 8-1 shot with Unibet. It is Active Authority for myself and Rodders, who is currently a 14-1 shot with Unibet. And Ed Nicholson is with Fireflyer at 11-1. So that was the 150 at Sandown, the opener. We're up and running. The 225 is a great two. It's the Bet365 Oaksy Chase. And it is always an interesting affair. And this year is no different, despite some of the big guns not being declared for the race, which was a little bit disappointing. I was hoping to see a Hoy Senor in here. He's not in here, but at the moment, the 5-2 joint favourites with Unibet are the real whacker, last year's Brown Advisory winner over Jerry Palom, of course. Feels like a lifetime ago. 5-2 joint favourite along with Hitman. Easy Game for Willie Mullins is 5-1. 6-1 Gala. Al Dancer is also 6-1. It's 12-1 Fantastic Lady. Straw Fan Jack is the outsider of the party at 20-1. We're going to stick with you here, Matt. Is this the day the real whacker bounces back to his best form?
I don't know, mate, to be honest. My main opinion on this was that I wasn't convinced by any of them.
Totally no winner honest. Of this race, I agree.
Yeah, like, I mean, the real whacker, you know, he's short enough on what he's done, isn't he? Like, he's hard to make a solid favourite in on the back of his form. Hitman's a bridal merchant. He's probably got the best bit of form behind Shishkin in that Denman chase, but he's not solid by any means. I sort of started looking at Al Dancer and started to convince myself that he was maybe the most solid of the lot. And then that got me a bit worried because he's not a solid horse at all. so, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably take a chance on Al Dancer at a slightly bigger price, but it's not a strong race for me at all.
Yeah, so I think when you go through this race, if you're going in card order, Easy Game is now 10. He can't be getting any better. He's got cheap pieces on for the first time. Gala is one of them horses where you know he obviously has a big handicap in him, but is he a grade two winner really? The real whacker has been a pale shadow of last season, this season. Al Dancer, like you said, you know, he just tends to be vulnerable at this sort of level. Hitman hasn't won since about 1963. Straw Fan Jack isn't good enough, and Fantastic Lady sure can't be good enough. So Ed Nicholson, can we get a price please on no winner of the 225 at Sandown?
No. But I can give you the winner.
Yes, I like this. A bit of conviction, Ed.
Yeah, I really fancy one here. Only because of what you and Matt have said, that there's a lot of holes in everything else. But there's a hole in my selection as well, a big hole, which I'll talk about. But I thought Easy Game was a big price at 6-1. I mean, you're no Dave, but I would have thought when Willie Mullins was contemplating last week at this time, could he possibly win the Trainers' Championship over here in the UK, he thought he had to win the Scottish National, but he'd be thinking about this meeting and which horses he could take and which horses could win the big prizes. And he's decided upon Easy Game for this grade two. It's £45,000. And Easy Game put in a really bad performance last time. That's the hole. Pulled up, I watched the race, never going, right at the back. But he did only run a circuit, so he didn't run the whole race. Well, I'm trying to grab
that he only ran a circuit.
But the other positive is that was against grade one horses that are rated 175, 170, 164. He's got nothing like that. He is the highest rated horse in the race with 160. If you take out that performance at Aintree, which, you know, he's difficult to do so because he got absolutely left behind. He's won 9 of his previous 11. He's won on softish ground, which would be the second big problem, because I understand the ground's going to be good or good to soft at the very softest. So that would be a slight worry. But I thought he's worth giving a chance, given the opposition and given that he's used to running against better horses. And he's 9 from 11 if you take out that last poor performance. So as I've said before in this podcast, I always want to give a horse a bad, always want to forgive a horse a bad run last time out. You get a better price for a start. And I just think 6-1 Easy Game, best, the top rated horse in the race, is worth the bet.
Yeah, interesting shout. And ground is a key factor as well with Easy Game. Willie Mullins has said time and time again, this horse needs good ground. Didn't get an entry, gets it here. So case well made, Ed. Graham Broadway, Lord bless us and save us. What wins the 225 at Sandown? It's like a race full of Graham Broadways.
It's a great little race, isn't it? I mean, It's funny that this race is for the Menorah Challenge Trophy. You know, Menorah was kind of perfect horse for this race, wasn't he? You know, he just fell short of the top class, but he could win this one. And there's a few of those types in here, aren't there, DJ? I actually think the Real Whacker will improve here. I mean, he'll put up an improved display. I think he's been jumping to his right a little bit, hasn't he, on his recent outings, and he's going back right-handed here for the first time since he finished fourth in the King George. So I can see why he's favourite, but I mean, the value's got to be with Easy Game, hasn't it, at more than double his price. I mean, the way that Willie Mullins and Paul Townend have been going in the last couple of weeks, everything they run seems to go close or win. And like Ed's already said, I mean, he's got strong form in the book. He likes decent ground. Well, I mean, he's not a solid horse, but neither are any of them, are they? And he's definitely got a solid jockey and a solid trainer. So, Easy Game. But like you say, if nothing were to win it, it wouldn't surprise you.
It's quite ironic that we're tipping a horse called Easy Game in what is anything but an easy game when you've got races like this, because this is, and then I suppose it's a riddle wrapped in a riddle. But Ed and Rodders are with Easy Game at 5-1 with Unibet. And as Matt said, when he got to Al Dancer and realised he was the most solid horse in the race, he just gave up. And I think Matt is probably right. I would give Al Dancer a little bit of a squeak. And God, like Hitman is Hitman. God only knows what Hitman is going to do. But he will travel to the pond fence, and then who knows what's going to happen. So, in other words, I fancy nothing. So that is the 225. It's going to be interesting. We will see what happens. Moving on to the 3 o'clock. Now, this is more like it. This is the first grade one of the day. It is the Bet365 Celebration Chase. And this is what we want. Finally, a bit later than planned, we are getting to see another rematch between El Fabiolo and John Bond, and currently with Unibet, El Fabiolo is on the slide a little bit at 4-6. It is 85-40, John Bond. Edward Stone is 7-1. Editor de Jeet is 28-1. 33-1, Booth Hill. Elixir de Nuts, grade one winner himself, it's 33-1. And it's also 33-1, Nube Negra, Graham Rodway. What is going to happen in this year's Celebration Chase?
Yeah, great race, isn't it, DJ? We've finally got the clash, haven't we? You know, we thought we were getting it in January and it didn't happen. We thought we were getting it at Cheltenham and it didn't happen. And now it is happening. El Fabiolo against John Bond. El Fabiolo comes here, of course, having made a bit of a mess of his last run, doesn't he, at Cheltenham, when he just walked through that fence, basically, didn't he? He got it all wrong. I think we know that El Fabiolo is the more talented horse of the pair between him and John Bond. I think that's a fair statement. It's just a case of whether he's going to put in a clear round here, isn't it? I have a feeling he probably will. I think he's going to be well suited by the way this race might set up. I know that Edward Stone's in there and might try and do what he did at Cheltenham, but if it didn't work at Cheltenham, then maybe they won't do that. Again, would you back El Fabiolo at odds on after what happened at Cheltenham? Probably not. Is he going to bounce back? Probably yes. But I don't really know what's going to happen now. You know, nothing would surprise me. I could see Boot Hill running a big race, but he's got a couple of falls by his name. I could see Elixir de Nuts running a big race, you know, but he comes in the back of a pulled up.
Just stop there, Graham. Stop there.
You know,
send it into nonsense there now.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, DJ. I don't know, but I wouldn't back El Fabiolo odds on, that's for sure.
Okay, the last two things won't happen anyway, so I can guarantee you that. Okay,
because well, you don't
or Elixir de Nuts won't be winning, no.
What about Nube Negra?
No.
Editor
de Jeet? Editor de Jeet?
Yeah.
No. I have two theories on this race, and we're going to come to Matt now, okay? My two theories are both kind of centered around John Bond, but on El Fabiolo, first of all, El Fabiolo, I think, is, as you said, Graham, the most talented horse in the race. But I think if you were to get a track that doesn't suit a horse, it would be Sandown for El Fabiolo, because he's a little bit of a kind of a lummox, is that the word? He's a little bit, he's a big bull of a horse. And I'm not sure big bulls suit Sandown, because those railway fences come so fast, you have to sort your feet out really, really quickly. And I just can't envisage El Fabiolo pinging every fence here. I don't think it's his track. And I might be proven wrong, he's never ran around the track before, and you can say he's been brilliant around Punchestown, which is a tough jumping test. But I think Cheltenham probably suits El Fabiolo a little bit better than Sandown. And I just think he gets a bit low with his fences. And if he doesn't sort his feet out quick enough, I think it could get away from him here. But as I said, he is the most talented horse in the race. On Jambon, I have a theory on Jambon. I think Jambon gets better with racing. And I think the more the races come bang, bang, bang for Jambon, I think the better he is. Look at the way he bounced out of the Arkell last season and came to this race. He went Arkell, okay, was well beaten by El Fabiolo. Then he went Aintree, fantastic. Barely put a foot wrong. Then he came to this race and was better again and reduced the Racing Post rating of 170. I think it's a similar sort of scenario here. Obviously, he missed Cheltenham in March, but he ran in January, jumped terribly. Then he came back from a bit of an absence to win over 2.5 miles at Aintree. I know he was working like, but I think he's going to be even better here. He's got proven form around Sandown. And I think this is the day that Jambon beats El Fabiolo, and I think he's the better of the day on Saturday. Rodders,
are you telling me that you think Sandown is a more difficult jumping test than Cheltenham?
Yes, 100%.
I can't have that, DJ. I'm sorry. Why? Because I know that there's railway fences and those seven down the back. But at Cheltenham, you've got all those tricky fences, haven't you? You know the ones with the drops on and the one that you made the mistake at that's going up the hill. Sandown's a much sort of flatter track. And although there is a lot of fences there and they go fast and they come in a line, I don't think there's as many tricky fences. And I think it's the tricky fences that catch El Fabiolo out. I think on a course like this, I think it'd be all right. I think he's he jumps well, but I'm not sure he's that clever, if you know what I mean. So is he clever enough to put himself right when the fences are a bit tricky? But I don't think the fences are that tricky at Sandown. They are tricky at Cheltenham, though. So for me, what you just said's nonsense.
Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. That's fair enough. The one thing I will say about the Cheltenham fence, you ask jockeys at the moment riding over the fence at the Cheltenham Festival, they will say they're the easiest, softest fences of the whole season almost. The Irish jockeys can't believe it when they go over to Cheltenham Festival and they're after jumping around Fairy House and Punchestown and they go to Cheltenham for the festival and they're like, oh my God. But obviously they're going to stride faster, so they have to be that little bit softer. But look, you're entitled to your opinion. Matt, you've listened to all this unfold, okay? I'm with Jambon. One of us or both of us is probably talking nonsense. You have the deciding vote here. Is it El Fabiolo or is it Jambon?
But I can't really clear it up, to be honest with you. I think it will be difficult for El Fabiolo given the jumping test of Sandown. I know what Rodders is saying. It's a different jumping test to Cheltenham, but it's still probably one of the toughest in the country. And I think particularly with this setup, you know, you don't know what they're going to do with Edwardstone, but Elixir de Nuts and Editor de G, you know, you think there's going to be a decent gallop on which he's going to put a bit of pressure on his jumping. And given the quick sequence of the fences, that is I think going to be difficult for him. My issue with Jambon is I take your point about the quick turnaround last year, and this is only the second time that he's had a sort of sharpish turnaround. He just seems the sort of horse to me that increasingly is kind of on the edge a little bit. He's getting more and more worked up in the preliminaries. He's getting really buzzy, and that can the racing can help him in that sense and that it settles him down, but also he might just boil over a little bit. And I'm not really sure which way he's going to go. So I'd always side with a more talented horse. And in that case, I think it's El Fabiolo, but I do have a real concern about his jumping around here for sure.
Okay, so it's two votes for El Fabiolo. I'm on my own so far, Ed, with Jambon. What does Ed Nicholson make of the celebration, Chase?
Well, I mean, first of all, I totally disagree with you about Jambon. I think he's better with a break. If you look at his form, the only two times he's lost is when he's lost with less than 50 days from previously running. I know the horse quite well because we've been at Nicky's ever since he got there, and he really does run his nerves. He's a very nervous horse, so they like to give him a lot of time between his races. So I think that we last saw him 15 days ago. It was actually a negative.
I'm the complete opposite.
I think he, and also my worry is that he's running back over two, having to me run that 2.5 miles and saw it out really well. I know Nicky through the Unibet blog has been looking forward to running him over 2.5 and maybe, dare I say, even three. So the fact he comes back to two is a slight worry to me. The 15-day turnaround is a slight worry to me. But one thing I would say is I think the prices are crazy. I mean, there's a big disparity between the two. odds on El Fabiolo and over 2-1 on John Bon. So from a price point of view, I think John Bon would be the horse you'd be interested in. But from a race, I can't back El Fabiolo for the points that have been made. He does get very low, not just when he's fallen or almost fell when he pulled up at Cheltenham last time. He had jumped two of the previous three fences really low. Nico de Boinville in the very Racing Post podcast for the Cheltenham Festival actually made the point that he didn't think he was a very good jumper before the race. So I can't have El Fabiolo. I don't want to back John Bon for a couple of reasons. So I'm going to go, surprisingly even to me, to Edward Stone to come back and win this after a fall last time out. He's got the form on this track. He's done well. He's not that too far away from him ratings. And I just think there are a couple of negatives about El Fabiolo and John Bon. Love to see John Bon win. Obviously, I love him. But I just worry about the turnaround and the drop down to 2 miles.
Okay, there we go. So Edward Stone, 7-1 for Ed Nicholson. And what we've learned from the last 10 minutes or so is that I'm the one talking nonsense and John Bon won't be winning, but I'm hoping the lads are wrong. And Matt and Rodders are basically with El Fabiolo, although they wouldn't be backing him at his current odds. So that is the 3 o'clock. It's a celebration chase. Moving on to the feature of the day. It is the 3:35. It is the Bet365 Gold Cup and Kitty's Light. After such a corking run in the Grand National, God, everybody got excited. None more so than our producer, Dave Lowe, of course, who is good friends with Christian Williams. I'd say he was getting very hot under the collar coming down to the last. Unfortunately, Kitty's Light only finished fifth, but what a run it was. Currently, your 130 favourite with Judy Bet. 3 under, True Five is 6-1. La Milos is 7-1. Manila Cocoon are 15-2. Nick Rocket, 15-2. Am I right? 17-2. That won't last. Kinodo Kuitu, I think, God bless my Welsh, is 11-1. Your Own Story is 14-1, and it is 16-1 bar. Right, Matt Gardner, this is a really strong Bet365 Gold Cup. Have you a strong opinion?
Ish. I like Am I Right.
Good man, Matt.
Yeah, and I know you do too. His profile's cracking for this race.
This horse will start favourite.
You think so?
I do. Yeah. I think that 17-2 is worth taking. I could see him going up about 7-2.
Yeah. He's got the mark of a horse that will get smashed up in the betting, doesn't he? I mean, he ticks all the right boxes. He missed the Kim Muir, didn't he, because of the ground. So
yes,
that's going to be a positive for him. I think a stamina test at this trip's going to suit him. He's one of those horses where he's always threatened to be a bit better than he is. He's just not had the rub of the green, has he? So yeah, I like his profile. At a bigger price, I'd fire in Bangers and Cash as well. Who he's edged back down the weights. He ran a cracker here in March. He's probably not quite good enough to win it, to be honest. But if you're snaffling a place, I'd give him a shout as well. But I think Am I Right? It'd be my strongest view here.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so Bangers and Cash currently with Unibet. I'm scrolling. 30-3-1, ladies and gentlemen. Bangers and Cash for Keelan Woods and Ben Paul. And good shout out from Matt Gardner, who also likes Am I Right? As do I. I think that 17-2 is going to be long, long gone. Probably even by the time you're listening to this podcast. So we need Dave to get it out as quickly as he can so punters can get on that 17-2 with Unibet at the moment. Look, I've got on the record at every Cheltenham preview night to say that I think he's the best handicapped horse in Ireland or England over fences. We haven't seen the best of him yet. Just go back and watch that run at the showcase meeting at Cheltenham. He finished fourth to Whacker Clan that day, but he pulled Rachel Blackmore's arms out. He just needed a faster pace. He didn't get it. Then he went to Leopardstown for the Paddy Power Chase where the ground just went all against him. It just lashed rain the morning of the race. I thought he did remarkably well to finish fifth. And just look at all those horses that's in and around him. Meeting of the Waters, Panda Boy. Just in front of him was James de Burleigh, who ran so well in the top. And then behind him, Desert Moor House and horses like, you know, Watch House Cross, Life in the Park. That is rock solid form. He's a different horse on good ground. 17-2 now. Take it, because I think he's going to go off 7-2. Rodders, what do you like in the Bet365 Gold Cup?
I think Kitty's Light will be very difficult to beat, DJ. I mean, you know, he ran really, really well in the Grand National, didn't he? He just didn't have the class and the speed to deal with I Am Maximus over the, you know, final stages. But, you know, we know he loves this race. He always turns up in top form here. And yeah, I mean, he's absolutely the right favourite, I think. And, but I think he might drift, you know, because they put him in so short at the start of the week. I think there's only one way he goes, because all the wise guys like you and I are going to go, oh, well, we're not going to back Kitty's Light at 4-1, you know. So it could end up drifting to like 6 or 7s even. But you know, sticking to the narrative, you know, that I'm not going to back Kitty's Light at 4-1. You know, I've got to find a better value selection. I don't know why we have to do that. You know, like, it's like an unwritten tipster rule, isn't it?
You don't.
You think that Kitty's Light's going to win, but you're like, you see him at 4-20, go, oh no, I've got to find some a bit better value. So that's what I've done.
No, you don't.
No, but that's what I've done for some reason.
No, you don't. You can stick with Kitty's Light. There's no rules.
Well, I think he'll win. But anyway, okay. The one at the bigger price is surely Enrilo will run well, won't he? I mean, he has got a good record in the race, hasn't he? I mean, I certainly remember him being, it might have been the year when Kitty's Light should have won and was unlucky not to. Yeah, he was bang there, wasn't he, that year? And I think that he's nicely handicapped. Angus Chalade has been riding him recently. He's been getting on well with him. He's no match for Innisfree a couple of starts ago at Musselburgh, but he beat the rest quite tidily. He didn't run too badly last time at Taunton either. So, I think it is like a win, but I'll be back in Relo each way with all the extra places that Ed's going to give us.
I think he actually won the race, didn't he? He was disqualified afterwards in Relo.
Yeah,
it was Potterman and Kitty's Light. It was one of the most thrilling finishes to the Bet365 Gold Cup. You think he's got a big chance this year in Rillo, yeah? So in Rillo at the moment is currently with Unibet 20-1. But you do think Kitty's Light? At what stage does Kitty's Light become a backable price runner?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he goes out to 6, maybe 13-2, you'd be looking at backing. I'm not even sure he'll go a favourite, Kitty's Light here, you know, because there's, you watch the All Shore going on about that thing. Yeah, I mean, that might go off favourite. Nick Rocket, obviously, is the Mullins factor in Townend, so there'll be support for that. I mean, we saw last week, didn't we, at Ayr, there was a monster gamble on, was it Mr. Van Gogh? I mean, where did that come from? You know, you couldn't have picked that, but... But, you know, you do tend to get horses in these big handicaps like this who just spring out of nowhere and end up going off favourite. You know, we all thought that Correct Rambler was going to be favourite for the Grand National for a long time. And then Iron Maximus ended up joint favourite with Limerick Lace, wasn't it? So, you know, I could see Kitty's Light drifting and not even going off fav.
OK, there we go. And Ed Nicholson, what are your thoughts on Kitty's Light?
Well, I mean, having listened to Graham, I'm going to be the mug that's going to tip up a 4-1 winner rather than a 20-1 loser.
Beautiful.
I think Kitty's Light has got everything. If you ever wanted to back a horse that loves the course, loves a race, loves a time of year, has been targeted for the race, then Kitty's Light is it. Now, I know he ran in the Grand National and was targeted for that, but he's shown that he can win races within a week, let alone within 2 weeks of running over 4 miles. And every time he comes to Sandown, he runs a cracker, doesn't he? And when we look at these, I mean, I know what Graham's saying. I took the mickey a little bit, but obviously price is the most important thing. And, you know, when I was looking at Kitty's Light, I was looking at his handicap rating and just seeing how it compared with previous years. And he's on 145, isn't he, I think? And he won this off 140 and placed third, came second, or the other way around, when Enrilo got disqualified, off 139. So... I mean, in 3 years, he's only gone up £5 or £6, and he's won three of the biggest handicap chases in the country. It's a great bit of training by Christian Williams, and he must have a great chance. The going's come right. Jack Tudor gets on really well with him. You know that it's going to be a fastish pace in the race, which will suit him. He showed last time at Aintree that he can actually go up with the pace, which we haven't seen before. He normally makes ground, you know, in the latter stages of the race. I just thought Kitty's Light was much the most obvious choice, and around about 4-1. If I can get 6-1, I'll be jumping for joy. I did put Enrilo down actually, Graham, at 20-1, looking at his record and given, but he has not run very well lately, has he? But yeah, I think that's got a chance as well. We are going 5 places here. We are an extra place with Unibet. But I just thought Kitty's Light's got so many positives. I just couldn't not back him. And I think he's well handicapped still.
Brilliant. There we go. So it's Kitty's Light for Ed Nicholson. I'm very much with Am I Right, as is Matt Gardner. Rodgers is basically with Kitty's Light, but he gave a shout out to Enrilo at 20-1. That was the Bet365 Gold Cup. Join us after the break when we'll be previewing the ITV action at Leicester and Haydock.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Fancy a bet but find it confusing? Do not fear. SmartView is here to help you. We've taken the traditional race card and removed all the jargon and abbreviations which can be daunting for newcomers. The result is a race card that means making informed choices and picking winners is easier than ever. Our racing experts and data scientists have created an algorithm that puts everything a seasoned punter would consider into the attribute bars you see on the race card and assesses each runner with an overall score out of 100.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Unibet and the Racing Post. And we are joined by Ed Nicholson, Matt Gardner and Graeme Rodway. We previewed the ITV action at Sandown. Now let's have a look at the serving from Haydock, the 2:45. It is the Trust the Trader. Doc, it's hard to say Trust the Trader without the Trust the Trader way they say it in the ad. TrustTheTrader.com handicap. And currently with Unibet, Earls is your 130 favourite for that Irish Raider, Gavin Cromwell. It is 5-1 Guidor. Sparks Fly is 6-1. Roach Power is 13-2. Zip is 17-2. 9-1 Takara Bay. 9-1 Roscollen. And it is 10-1 Bar. Right, Matt Gardner, what wins this fiercely competitive handicap at Haydock?
Takara Bay does, I think.
This sounds like your most compelling argument so far, the way you've started this.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I really like him in this. So off this mark last year, he couldn't have shaped any better in that international handicap at Ascot. He was clear on his side. It was the unfavoured group. I think about the first 7 or 8 came from the near side. He was on the far side. We've only seen him at 7 furlongs once since. That was on the back of a break back in November. These days, he's a bit slow for 6 and he races too keenly over a mile. So going back to 7 furlongs, handle soft ground fine. He won on soft at Haydock back in 2022. So yeah, ground, track, trip, handicap mark, everything. Yeah, for me. I think he's going to run a cracker.
I'm already excited for you, Matt. The very best of luck with Takara Bay, 9-1 currently with Unibet. I think we know what Matt Gardner's nap is going to be on Saturday. Ed Nicholson, what wins the 2:45 at Haydock? Are you following Matt in?
Well, first of all, we're going super boost on this race, so you can boost the price of every single horse in this race from 9 o'clock on Saturday. You
get the next. We're getting 10-1 about Takara Bay. Nice.
Love it. Yeah. And from 9 o'clock on Saturday, my eye was taken to Earls coming over from Gavin Cromwell's. He doesn't run too many on the flat over here, does he? You know that more than I do, David. But he's run twice really well at the Curra, the first time out this season in their Lincoln. And then last time out, he was held up at the back and came with an unbelievable run. He went past 7 horses inside the final furlong to just be beaten by a nose. Soft ground, heavy ground's a key. I note that it's still heavy up at Haydock. We're recording this on Thursday. And as we know previously, it doesn't always work out. The going does change. Most important factor, I think, when placing a bet. So as long as the ground's still soft or heavy, Earls would be my selection. My one concern is he's drawn stall one. I don't know how they'll run if they'll be tight on that bend as they come round Haydock, that 7 furlong trip. But as he's a hold-up horse, you'd be slightly worried that he's going to get no run. So he's going to have to rely on a good run. But I noted the horse in stall two, Sparks Fly, is a front runner, made all to win this last season. And the horse in drawn three is a hold-up horse. So he might get an early position. Franny Norton's the king of Haydock, as well as being the king of Chester. He'll know how to run him, ride him. And he's just coming, he's coming to this race in the best of form. So Earls, provided the ground is still soft, heavy, would be my selection.
Okay, there we go. And just a note on Gavin Cromwell. We know he's very good with his jumpers when they come across the water, especially at Cheltenham. But in the last 5 seasons, with his flat rates in Britain, He's got a 30% strike rate, 7 winners from just 23 runners. Of course, you can remember plenty of them. Quick Susie, the Royal Ascot winner, was in there. He's got Vera Verto, who won twice as well. White Pepper, Dazzing Dream. Plenty of decent horses have come over from the Gavin Cromwell stable and come away with the winner's check. So it is Earl's Fred Nicholson. And to round us off in the 2:45 at Hayden, Graham Rodway.
Yeah, he looks a bit too obvious, doesn't he, DJ? I was like, it's, you know,
this is one of these. Is that too obvious?
You know, too obvious. Like, he's drawn one. He'll be round the turn, won't it? At 7 furlongs at Haydock, I think. Testing ground suits him. Gavin Cromwell, like everywhere you look, he's having winners, isn't he? And he might even come to win one on the flat now. But I could see him going off quite a short price. I'm going to take him on with Look Back Smiling, who definitely really wants soft ground. Gemma Tutty's another trainer who's really started the turf season well. She's absolutely flying, banging in winners left, right and centre, and appeared to be improving Look Back Smiling, winning twice at Doncaster and then turned up last time. Was the Spring Mile or Cup or whatever they call it at Newbury. I don't think the ground was quite soft enough for Look Back Smiling that day, but that won't be an issue for him back on heavy ground at Donny and at Haydock. Sorry, no, I think that he can resume his progress where he left off at Donny 2 runs ago.
So that is the 2:45 at Haydock. 40 minutes earlier than that at Leicester, we've got the Madry Exceptional King Richard III Cup Handicap, with plenty of prize money up for grabs here, with over 25 grand to the winner. And currently with Unibet, Al Mulpeer is currently a 94 favourite. Radaberg is 92 odds are Tumbler Roar. Look Back Smiling, who Graham fancies in the Haydock race, is currently 13-2. Miss Cantic is 7-1. And it is 15-2 Bar. Is this favourite a good thing, Matt Gardner, Al Mulpeer?
Dunno. I mean, they're two. They've got a class edge, Alma Beer and Radabag, don't they? You look at the handicap marks. They're 105, 104. Next in's 99. So they've definitely got a class edge. I mean, Alma Beer generally has come on for his first run. Radabag's got to bounce back from a sort of fairly disappointing run last time. So I was keen to have a stab at one at a bigger price. I mean, Magic Memories is a pound out of the weight, so he's operating a bit out of his pay grade, to be honest, but he's got a generally progressive profile. He won in the mud last year. I thought he shaped really well in the Spring Mile at Donny on reappearance. He's got a bit of a habit of missing the break, which isn't ideal, but he made a huge move into it from the back. He was sort of sat second or third kind of into the final furlong and then sort of got a bit tired, paid for that. If he comes on for that, and I think he will, then I think he'll outrun a biggish price. It's just whether he's quite good enough up against that sort of better class of horse. But he'd be the one that I think's just about most interesting in here.
Brilliant. Rodders?
Yeah, did I make the case for Look Back Smiling? Yeah, I think Look Back Smiling's got a really good chance. Yeah, I mean, he obviously really likes soft ground, and it weren't soft enough for him at Newbury last time. I don't know where
he's going to win boat races 40 minutes apart. What a horse.
We've got one race at Sandown where we don't think anything's going to win it. We've got a race now where we think the same horse is going to win two races on the same day at two different tracks. No.
How far is it from Leicester to Haydock? Will you manage it?
No, I am. I'm actually working overtime, try and find out for the listeners that, you know, where this horse's first preference is. But you know, if he does run here, he's got a huge chance. Obviously, Harry Davis is booked to ride here. Pierre Louis Jaman is booked to ride. Should he run at Haydock? I don't know where he's going to run, but he's going to win.
Okay. Wherever he shows up, Look Back Smiling is going to win, according to G-Rod. And Ed, what do you like in this race at Leicester?
Well, first of all, this race is another super boost race with Unibet. So you can bet a horse the next price up on the price ladder from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. I rather boringly thought it was between the top two in the market. Last week, I tipped up Radabage to win the Spring Cup at Newbury. I thought he ran well, but only came seventh with William Buick in the saddle. I watched that race a few times and I came to the conclusion that the handicap has got to grips with him. So I was surprised he dropped in £2 because that makes him interesting again. I know it's only £2, he's beaten a long way, but that's the same mark as when he came third in the Irish Lincoln the time before. I think Radaburn's got a decent chance, but I've got to go for Almud here. One thing I like about William Haggis, well, there's lots of things I like about William Haggis, but he can get a horse ready whenever he wants throughout the course of the season. We saw that with Hamish last week. Hamish has to have soft, heavy ground. And when he runs on soft, heavy ground, you can bet your bottom dollar that he's ready to win. And this is similar. Almud here needs soft and heavy ground. Won this race last year from a low rating, 97, then he's 104 today. But he needs soft, heavy ground, or softish ground. And I just got a feeling they've had this race ready for a long time. Last year, he did have a run before, as Matt said, but he hasn't had this time. I still think he's class apart. He's been running in listed. After he won this race last year, he ran mostly in listed races. He ran in two handicaps, with two big handicaps, the Balmoral handicap and the Coral Cup at Goodwood. So, he was contesting against better horses. I think he's going to do exactly the same as last year. I think he's going to kick off a win in a handicap and then try his luck in a few listed races. And we know he likes soft going. And we know the trainer can get him ready first time. So fairly obvious for me, Almud here, but I think Radaburn Barge will run well as well.
Beautiful. And sticking with you, Ed, any other fancies anywhere? We've raced at Navan, Leicester. Of course, we've the undercards at Haydock Sandown as well. We've got Ripon, we've got Doncaster, we've got Wolverhampton, there's even Coffee Lawn, Ottoia's on, you can go to the San Siro in Italy. Ed Nicholson, anything else you like on Saturday?
Well, after all that, I'm going to say no. I've only looked at the ITV races, but I can give one later on. When we talk about other racing, I'll come to my four.
When we talk about what?
Well, I'll let the other guys talk about Saturday because I've got something for Sunday.
Okay, beautiful. There we go. Matt, anything else you like on Saturday?
Yeah, 6:40 at Doncaster, big field, 6 furlong handicap. Ascot Adventure for David O'Mara. Won the Air Bronze Cup last year. Ran a cracker on his reappearance. He was bang there until he just got a bit tired in the last sort of half furlong. That was over 7. He's dropping back to sprinting. It looks competitive, but if you sort of dig through him, I think quite a few of them have got a bit to prove, and he's sort of well handicapped and should be primed. So yeah, I think he'll run well.
Rodders.
I like in the 4:45 at Sandown, Nickelback. He was obviously out of this world when he won the Grade 1 Scilly Isles there 2 runs ago. He got well held last time at Aintree, but that was going back to 2 miles on a left-handed course. So I think going back up to 2.5 around Sandown, he's going to be some sight to watch going around there in a big handicap. So Nickelback in the 4:45 at Sandown would be the best of the rest for me, DJ.
Excellent. A new
one
for us on Sunday, Ed.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Bath on Sunday. And there's an old favourite of mine, 9 years young, Air Show, who's running in the 220 at Bath. Course and distance winner, been running on the all weather. Rod Millman's horses are in great form. He's one of his favourite horses. Used to have him as a younger horse. Then he got taken away and he's got him back now. And he's won a few times with him. Doesn't always win, but runs a really solid race. I'm backing him each way in the 220 with Oliver Searle on board, the young apprentice from Rod Millman's stable.
Okay, excellent. And one at a nice price that I think will run well and will potentially be placed and might even win the 5:20 at Sandown on Saturday is Monville, who's been a bit of an early horse. I'm not quite sure if his attitude is phenomenal given his string of placed efforts, but I think Monville definitely, this is his thing, fast pace over this trip at a track like Sandown where he's run so well before off mark 129. I think Monville is a big player in that 5:20 at Sandown. So all that's left to do now is reveal our best bets of the weekend. And we will start with you, Matt Gardner. I think I know what it is.
Yeah, no surprise. Tackerhead Bay to 2:45 Haydock.
9-1, listeners. 9-1, Tackerhead Bay. There we go. Matt made a brilliant case for him earlier on the show. Go back and listen if you've just tuned in. Go back and listen to what he says about Tackerhead Bay. Graham Rodway, the best bet of the weekend is?
Yeah, going to be some full time of this, isn't it, if it comes up? Because I'm going for Act of Authority in the 150 at Sandown. Double figure price that one too, DJ.
14-1. So we've got a 14-1 shot into a 9-1 shot. Ed Nicholson, what are you going for as your best bet off the weekend?
Well, I'll balance the four-timer up by going for a favourite, Kitty's Light, to win the big race at Sandown. Done it before, still well handicapped. I think he's got a lot of positives. So Kitty's Light to do it again, win the race once more.
Kitty's Light for you. And because you've gone for Kitty's Light, I can't go for Am I Right, who I think is a cracking price at 17-2. So I will stick with John Bond. Yes, I am a John Bond fan. So John Bond, around about 85-40 with Unibet, is my best bet of the weekend. I think he's going to get revenge on El Fabiolo. So that is it, ladies and gentlemen. That is this weekend's action. It's going to be a corker at Sandown. Really, really good quality racing. We've got the Grade 1. We've got a cracking handicap as well. Enjoy it all. My thanks to Matt Gardner, to Graham Rodway, to Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet. We'll be back next week with another jam-packed show.